I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Schools are the latest focus of big questions surrounding privacy and security. In response to a slew of mass shootings, as well as parents' concerns about their kids' online lives, schools are increasingly hiring private companies to monitor children's online activity and report anything troubling to school officials and police. But this heightened surveillance has a lot of people concerned about what this means for kids' civil liberties and the risks that false flags may launch children into the school-to-prison pipeline. Lois Beckett is a senior reporter at The Guardian, and she's been covering this issue, and she joins me now. Welcome to The Takeaway, Lois.
Great to speak with you.
So we talk a lot about digital surveillance and privacy, and now these tools are making their way into schools. What are we talking about specifically?
So for decades, schools have monitored basic internet usage of students. They've blocked certain websites that are deemed inappropriate for kids. What's new is a whole different level of surveillance. As more schools are using laptops and shared Google documents or other shared documents to do school assignments, some schools are now working with tech companies to track every single word that students are writing in their official school email accounts. They're sending in chat messages to each other, everything that they're writing in school assignments in Google Docs. And these are being automatically scanned all the time in real time, looking for concerning keywords or phrases about suicide, self-harm, bullying, but also about really small stuff like swear words.
What prompted this level of surveillance? What was the catalyst here?
So I think there are two major things. One is just that as schools have started giving kids laptops that they're responsible for, they are facing questions from parents about what those kids are going to be able to do on those laptops. But the other really crucial factor is this fear of school shootings and this incredible crisis and the inability of schools to tell parents that they're doing very much about this. And surveilling students and what they're doing online is something that schools can tell parents, hey, we're taking action, even as Congress refuses to pass any gun control laws.
Lois, I mean, these aren't human beings that are looking at every word that's being written. This is technology. And as much as we love technology, it is not perfect. So I'm going to wonder if there have been any false alarms here.
Oh, there are false alarms all the time. One school official told me that she used to get dozens of alerts daily when kids were writing their school essays about To Kill a Mockingbird. So companies are selling this technology as being very advanced using artificial intelligence, but it's still pretty tricky. At the same time, there definitely are humans involved in this process. Some of the technology companies actually offer human monitors, former school counselors or former police officers, who are reviewing what the technology flags and adding that human layer of interpretation. But the problem here is that both with this artificial intelligence and with humans, we know that it's really easy to misinterpret things, especially things that kids are saying, especially if you're from a different cultural background than the kids that you're surveilling.
So what happens if something is flagged?
Different schools do this different ways, but typically the flags will automatically go to school principals, counselors, IT directors, and they will respond often very quickly. Talking to one school principal in Missouri, he said that they can sometimes respond within minutes to an alert. So a school principal gets a notice on his phone that one student has emailed another student talking about self-harm, and within minutes he's calling that student's mother. But the most concerning thing here is that sometimes, especially late at night or on the weekends, these concerning emails aren't going to a school counselor. They are going to law enforcement. And either these tech companies or school officials are calling police and asking them to do safety checks on students at home because of what they've seen in these students' school documents.
Lois, you mentioned that there are times when certain words or phrases can set off an alarm that is then sent to law enforcement. And we know that increasingly in schools in the United States, there are folks called school resource officers who are basically law enforcement in schools. This can also create a pattern or begin a trail of criminality in some instances, doesn't it?
So what we do know, going back to Columbine, is that the increased presence of police officers, school resource officers in schools appears to lead to more students being arrested, to school discipline being treated as a criminal matter more than a school one, what civil rights advocates call the school-to-prison pipeline. And so the attempt to prevent school shootings going back to 1999 already has raised very serious concerns about the criminalization of students, and particularly Black students, other students of color, and students with disabilities. So what we're looking at now is an entirely new level of surveillance on a system that already has very stark racial disparities in discipline. And what privacy experts are worried about is how students of color and Black students in particular might be affected by having this new layer of surveillance. And that's particularly a concern if we know that police officers are being sent to students' homes in the middle of the night with the best of intentions from school officials worried that they might be on the brink of committing suicide. But we also know that wellness checks in the United States sometimes end in police officers killing the people they're supposed to be checking up on. So what we have is, you know, systems that are already broken, systems that are already very problematic, that don't always end in safe outcomes for the people that we're trying to help. And now we're having everything that students are typing or chatting to each other on their official school accounts monitored and creating even more opportunities, perhaps for positive intervention, but also at the same time for interventions that could be very dangerous.
Do students have any rights here, Lois? I mean, or is this really tech companies creating relationships with the schools and with the parents and students sort of, you know, handing over whatever rights that they do have when it comes to privacy?
Students do have rights that these tech companies cannot share their data more broadly. But when it comes to the question of what rights students have for their own school districts not to surveil them on school equipment, that's really an open question that hasn't been decided. Schools do have a lot of latitude to control what students do during the school days, but the First Amendment doesn't end at the school doors. So this is an area of law that just hasn't been decided yet.
What do we know about what happens to the data that these companies are collecting on students? Is it something that then gets passed on from school to school? Does it create, say, dossiers on individual students that they may or may not be aware of?
So one of the largest surveillance companies in this space, Securely, does something really interesting. It has a team of human analysts. And when those human analysts get an automated alert that a student has typed something in an email that looks concerning, they can actually pull up the history of everything that student has searched for online. They can look at all the websites that they've visited and look at this much broader portrait of what the student has been doing in order to determine how concerning that alert is. And I asked one of the Securely's executives, you know, do you share data with law enforcement? And he said, you know, if schools want us to, or if law enforcement subpoenas that, yes, we do. And so I think there are enormous unanswered questions about exactly how this data is being maintained. And company executives will say, like, well, we're teaching, you know, kids to be good digital citizens and to take responsibility for what they're doing online. But in fact, what they're doing is they're creating a lot of data that would not otherwise exist. And when data exists, people can access it.
So many interesting questions and concerns going forward. Lois Beckett, senior reporter at The Guardian, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
This is Susan from Salem, Oregon. Schools have a tough enough time teaching our kids to read, write, and count. Don't make them take on parents' responsibilities. Parents should be the ones monitoring emails.
Mercedes D'Angelo, I'm from Morristown, New Jersey. I'm on the fence about schools monitoring children's online activity, such as emails, but I do think some kind of monitoring of email communications and social media is critical. Too many predators out there and too much innocence we need to cherish and protect.
It's your friend Ellen from Pittsburgh. I think school monitoring of anything that comes in and out of the school for or by the children is excellent, but it must be confined to specific items used or accessed inside the walls of the school. It's just like the way that the school has legal access to the child's locker.
I'm a grandmother. I think it's a parental responsibility to monitor their own children's emails, not the school. My name is Denise McQuinn.
This is Julianne calling from rural northwest lower Michigan. It's not okay, period. There are better ways to help keep our children safe. We should not be raising children who feel like surveillance is a part of everyday life.
Hi, At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.